there was a discussion and a question by Peggy about gunny sacking as a term in interpersonal relationships. Gunny sacking in produce terms. Have you heard of a gunny sacker? No? Not heard of that? When you drive down the road and there's a pickup truck, maybe a little shade deal, and a table, and they've got some fruit out in front, cantaloupes, watermelons, oranges, whatever. That's known as a gunny sacker. Often they have gleaning. Often they have fruit they've taken that they shouldn't have taken. But it is someone who's selling. And we are blessed in the valley here in that a lot of fruit that is ready too soon, I'll use that term, ripe and ready, is available for us here because it won't ship far. Okay, so we get that. We get the culls, they call it, things like that. But that's wonderful fruit, especially if you like to do preserves or do anything else. So that's a gunny sacker. In this term here, we're talking about gunny sacking in argumentation or in interpersonal relationships. Can you give me an example where you've experienced gunny sacking in your personal relationships? None of you have ever done that? Oh, okay. Let me share. No. Oh, we have a hand up. Yes. So Olivia's done it. Yep. Yep, it all comes out. It's here you go again, right?
That's right.
Right? And Liz, is that about what you're saying?
I was going to say the exact same thing.
Okay. Was it a sock or a dish? I'm just kidding. So, it's a metaphor using conflict resolution, which involves silently storing up grievances, irritations, and slights. Right? Slights. You know what a slight is?
A little thing someone
does. Yeah, wound. Have you heard of someone being slighted? Right? Barbara. A snub. Yeah, that's a form of a slight. So when there's just one corner of brownie left in the pan, and Deb says, let's have brownies for dessert. And I carefully cut that last piece into two pieces. If I take the larger one and give her the smaller one, is that a form of slighting her? Well, biblically, I would say absolutely, because what are we commanded biblically to do? Put others before ourselves. One thing is giving more. Would you say that? Is it just... Not saying, well, your body mass, Rick, you should have the larger brownie. You can handle it. But or someone could say, my wife is very slight and slender, and she can handle it a lot better than you big tubby guy. Right? So a slight can come in all forms, and they can be one where I'm slighting her. She doesn't even know it. Right? And then they can be outward ones, like Barbara said, a snub. Okay? So when we collect these things up, yes, we put them in the metaphorical picture here is the gunny sack. We put them in this gunny sack. Okay? This is a key aspect here. Perceived sins. Okay? Perceived sins. Now, having been married a fairly good amount of time and being an observer of my bride, I happen to know, have a good sense of how much she likes to eat. So if I then cut that and give her a portion and she says to me, that's just right, have I slighted her? No, I haven't. Okay? But if someone watched me do it, a third party, watched me cut a two-thirds, one-third piece of the brownie and give it to her, and wasn't privy to that conversation I had with her, they just observe it, could they think that I did that? There goes Rick again, that tubby guy, taking all he can get. Right? Do we... I'm glad you're chuckling, because it's hard to keep this up. But isn't that what we do? Isn't that what we do? If someone has a little bit of ought, or a little bit of trouble with another person, almost everything they do, even though they didn't hear the third-party discussion, they said, there he goes again. That's just like him. Right? Do we do that? Do we do that with our spouses? Why are all the women smiling so big? The men are looking down. This gunny sacking behavior is considered in the secular world a hallmark of a narcissistic person. Yikes! What does narcissistic mean? Self-loving and strong as what Olivia says, self-worship. Right? All about me. Let me tell you about me. Right? In this context, it's one who I would submit to you. I would use the term maybe refuses, but maybe it's just my observation. They appear to be refusing. They refuse to see the world through any other lens but the lens of them. All about them. Okay? So, when that is, they're throwing this stuff in that gunny sack for the moment when they can, what? Hit them with it. Get even. Overwhelm you with all of your terribleness to show that you're wrong and I'm right and you better square yourself away. You better change, right? In action. I'm not sure why that's there, but it'll bear itself out, I hope.
Okay. I'll tell you exactly why it's there.
That's the trigger.
Oh, yes. The overroll or the underroll. Yes, yes. Do you have small children or not? That should be the predicate to this. Huh? Right, right. What about not leaving the, you know, really? Really, you thought three sheets would do it? That's what you left me with? Right? Is that a slight? Is that a slight? Yes. Potentially. Ha ha, got her again. So, the over-under rule here, if you've got little ones that like to go like this, if you have cats anyway, your judgment is completely called into question. Oh, that was personal. Rick Goddard said that. That was personal. What do you mean? A dog person more than a cat person. All right. So an overblown reaction follows a simple issue because the sack was full. Ha ha. Right? We tend to have this remarkable memory. Even dudes do. Even I do, and I don't have much of a good memory. But I can remember those slights or those perceived slights. What about the time when you made me eat vegetables? Right? Okay, so the last straw action. What's the sin area? Forgetting just the act of throwing the sack at somebody. I hear that. Keeping a record. Yes. But in keeping that record, because isn't knowing someone for their fruits a form of record keeping? Isn't it? By their fruits they'll be known, right? Well, you mean the opposite. So now you're keeping record of their wrongs, their slights. And you're keeping that record and you're not coming to them. If, so personal note here, I was educated in the Los Angeles City School District, public school system. It's worked out okay. I got a wife that knows how to spell. I was passed along through that in the younger ages. I would tell you, in hindsight, I look at that and I wonder, why can I not diagram a sentence? Now, I still can't. Okay, I'm a terrible speller. My daughter-in-law knows that. I'm terrible at it. I don't know. I really don't know the rule. Why was I passed along through all that? I often wonder. My internal thinking is I was passed along because I was pretty good at sports, and the next level, you know. And I followed rules. I wasn't late. Didn't fight a lot and all that stuff. But I was good at sports. But I was passed along. To me, that's a form of gunny sacking extended, if you will. They just let things go till all of a sudden I get to the big test on whether or not I can go into junior high school. And I did terrible. I had to go in the summertime to this whole remedial thing just to be able to go to the next one. They let all that build up. Do we do that in relationships? We don't try to fix it right there. And fix it can be just raise it, just address it. Just like, ooh, you know, when you leave only 3 sheets on the roll, it can be a problem. It appears inconsiderate. Right? When we don't address those things forthrightly, are we sinning? We can all agree. Yep. All the heads nod. Yep, sitting. And therefore, in our sinning, and we gather this up, and we look to whack the other person with it, that picture is tragically humorous. Hear, O partner that I love in my life, let me club you with my bucket of sins. Yeah? Is that a reasonable picture? Let me take this bucket of sins that I've been sharing up about you, and I'm going to whack you with it because you left 3 sheets in the roll. Does that build trust? Nope. Does that build closeness? Does that build, you go on and on, intimacy? Why do we do it? When trying to resolve some present problem, bringing up past grievances has this dual effect. It raises additional problems. Oh, I didn't know you wanted it over and not under roll or whatever it is. It also sidetracks from dealing with the current issue. So not only are you getting whacked with all of the past stuff, it really makes it difficult to deal with the current thing. Right? And this becomes a familiar pattern. Others may avoid interaction in order to avoid adding to the gunny sack. Now, are there people in your life that when you see them walk in your way, it goes through your head, I might have something to do over here? Yes. Anybody like that in your life? Not that you don't like them. It's just that, maybe a gunny sack item they're going to get me with, right? We have that in our life. It's not that we don't like the person. I'll say for me, I don't think I dislike them. It's just like, whew, I don't know that I am ready for that exchange. Okay?
Somewhere else, just avoid everything to do with that person.
So I'm going to repeat that for the tape. So Art says that it may cause you to not have a meaningful conversation, or I'm going to avoid a conversation. I might look to do something else if I'm character directed, because I don't want to add to that sack. I don't trust. Art's nodding his head. Yeah, I don't trust this person in this relationship to use this conversation helpfully. Yep. Some would say that's why guys go fishing. No, it's, thank you, Liz. Liz says out loud, is that a good technique? No, it is cowardice. But it's just as cowardly, I would submit to you, to building up this sack. It's just as cowardly, only it's done in little increments. Okay? It's done in these little cuts that all of a sudden becomes a hammer. Okay? And it does not promote a healthy relationship. Ben has some background in here. I'm going to go through these. Just why does gutty sack occur? Holding on to resentment and pent up anger due to a lack of communication. And this, I'm going to speak to the guys. If your bride is doing this, and the lack of communication is because you say, when you talk to me, here's a certain way you have to say this stuff to me, or I'm not going to accept it. Right? That's a block in communication. I do that. In more extreme cases, one partner could be suffering from narcissistic abuse and feel they cannot express their emotion. Ever use the term, ladies? Sometimes I feel like I'm walking on eggshells around you. Right? Uh-huh. Okay. Gunny sacking usually results in emotional flooding, and it can be the most difficult to deal with. This is where sometimes you walk the other way because, like, here comes the, right? Here comes the big dump. Rather than using the prefrontal, this is Ben being scientific. That's good stuff there. Yeah, thank you, Liz. Liz, who is educated much better than me, is the prefrontal cortex. So the part of you dealing with emotion starts becoming flooded, and the part of your mind that starts dealing with reason, with trying to process it, doesn't get any juice, right? Doesn't get any neuron, electron, proton, gigabigas, whatever they call them. Okay. Pay attention to your emotions. Take time out. Seek couples counseling. Plan a relationship review once a week. Deb and I use a technique now. She uses the technique. I accede to it. I would say I like it, but I don't think of it before she does. She's quicker at it. And that is driving down the road. I got my little box open up that's the nothing box in my head, right? Thinking about nothing. We have that box, ladies. We do. Mm-hmm. It's true. We have that box. What are you doing? Nothing. Okay. But she will ask me thoughts and feelings. I actually have to say a thought and what I feel about it. It's been very helpful to do that and to talk through the stress that I'm feeling. Over my career, have chosen, sometimes incorrectly, not to include her in the stress of work because I don't want to stress her out. But what she does is she sees the stress in me, and then she's got to process, is it because of her? Is it because of the family? Is it because in lack of information, we generally go to the worst story, right? Right? So that relationship review, thoughts and feelings, is very helpful. I'm going to throw that out to those who have not been married that long, great learning early if you get into this now. Those that have been married a long time, I'm going to guess that you have come to the place where you do something like that, or she has a rolling pin by the bed to get your attention. Okay? Yeah. Is this biblical thinking? The act of forgiveness can improve your health. What? What? They just came out with a study, fairly significant one, that speaks to the truth they think they found, that folks with a positive attitude live longer and healthier lives. They get sick less. It's better on their immune system. On and on and on. Positive attitude. Here, the power of forgiveness in your life. And we can have a very long discussion. Depends on how you want it. Because there's a dialogue that goes on about, can you extend forgiveness to someone that hasn't repented to you? Can you do that? You can, right? Because it's your choice to say, what's the biblicity of it? Well, I tell you, you help them along by working through the repentance part of sin. Go ahead. Thank you, Art. You're going right to where one of my favorite pieces of scripture talks about putting others before yourself, right? Yeah, so, because in that forgiveness, you can, and this is where the gunny sack doesn't even get opened. Let it pass. Covering another's issue, right? Let it pass. Improving cholesterol levels. Oh, I love that. Sleep and immune system. It actually helps your sleep, right? Reducing pain, blood pressure, forgiveness, health connection increases your age. As my neighbor in Los Osos told me regarding age, he was talking about wanting to give away some of the stuff. And I said, but Hank, you know, what about this and that? And he goes, there's not too many shopping days till the holiday here. Because he's... I said, well, you never know. God decides. Okay. Another physician. Okay. This is in expressing these things. And I will not do this the justice that Ben would. I did not study this part very well. But I know that the way we express the issues matters. When you begin in a dialogue and you say something like, you, blah, 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 you always do this or you never. Instead of saying, this is, I feel, and feelings are not bad. But they should not drive everything you do. Everything's kind of strong. They should not be the driver of most of your decisions, put it that way. Problem behaviors. Consequences, when this happens, I feel this and I do that. Irresponsible communication. So the irresponsible communications are above versus maybe more responsible communication. I'm going to go through this because I hope Ben can, he's done more work on that. Here is, if you can get a sense of this, the amount of scripture that supports having that loving, and I would say, not focused on self attitude. Gentle answer turns away wrath, rejoicing in hope, preserving tribulation, devoted in prayer from Romans. The Matthew 6 passage, for if you forgive others for their transgressions, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others, your Father will not forgive your transgressions. That should be a profoundly evident warning in our lives. Okay? If the risk of being right versus being forgiving is this statement here, what side should you risk being forgiving, not being right? Okay? Sometimes we want to be right. not sometimes. These scriptures here point to, speak to our speech. This one here, Proverbs 24, do not rejoice when your enemy falls, and do not let your heart be glad when he stumbles, or the Lord will see it and be displeased and turn his anger away from him. Do any of us, well, sometimes when I hear on the radio that somebody who doesn't think the way I do gets caught in something, there's a moment where I'm like, oh, yes. And then I think, as recently happened, several people went through that. Wow, what must their families be going through? What must their friends be going through, right? This is a very stern warning there by God. So Psalm 35, 11 through 14, malicious witnesses rise up. They ask me of things that I do not know. They repay me evil for good to the bereavement of my soul. But as for me, when they are sick, my clothing was sackcloth, and I humbled my soul with fasting, and my prayer kept returning to my bosom. I went out as though it were my friend or brother. I bowed down in mourning as one who sorrows for a mother. Think about that for a moment. When that person who's done us wrong, or that person who means us harm, gets caught, gets bound up, gets diagnosed, do we pray for them, fast for them? Do we fervently mourn for them that this has happened to them? Or are we like, I've sinned in that, you got what you deserve there, pal, right? That's sinning. Here is what we're commanded to do. Even though a malicious witness rose up and they accused us and asked us things, they repaid evil for good, I was kind to them and they took my stuff. Right? But when they were sick, what did we do? Right? So that's the opposite of gunny sacking. Joey,
years ago, me and Lupe were, I think it was $21,000 that we lent somebody. Mm-hmm. They didn't pay it. Dummy me put my house on a second, which I was only paying $140 a month, came to $550. Back in my younger days, that was quite a bit of money for me and Loopy. We finally sold the house. And but what I was getting at, that guy, it was a hard time to forgive him because we suffered really bad through that for a lot of years. And he never did ask for forgiveness. Matter of fact, when he sees me, he acts like nothing ever happened. And I learned to just, I say hi and bye, that's about it. But what I'm getting at is, because he hasn't asked for forgiveness or say he's sorry, should I go up to him and tell him, I forgave you a long time ago, I just want you to know that. You never asked for forgiveness, but I couldn't let it go any longer because it was turning into a cancer for me, it was hurting me inside so much. Is that proper, or you just... You know, one thing I in my head, I always think when you ask somebody asks you for forgiveness, you're to never bring it up again. But since he hasn't, sometimes I bring it up. Because I don't think I'm breaking any law in that series because he's never asked. And I share with people when they say, what do you think about lending him money? I said, Well, let me tell you a little story here. But what I'm getting at, it's no longer been a cancer to me, but sometimes it does come up. But it stays where it stays. It doesn't, we don't murmur or anything. So what I'm asking is, should I go up to that certain person and say, I've forgiven you a long time ago? I just want you to know that.
Well, let me use the scripture here in 2 Timothy as the answer. So, Joey, I'm going to count you, because I think I know you, as a bondservant to Christ. Yep. Can we all, we would all like to be called that, a bondservant of Christ. And here's what 2 Timothy 2, 24 through 26 tells us. First of all, not be quarrelsome. Not go after this guy. So I'm going to use Joey's. Not go after this guy and say, where's my money? What's going on? What's happening? Right? Not doing that. So I think Joey said that he hasn't. Must be kind to all. I can break out the definition of all, but I think we know what all means, right? Everyone, without exception, must be kind to all. Able to teach. Joey, so part of my answer says, when you go talk to him, talk about your faith. Maybe not even talking about what he owes you or anything else. Talk about how God has been good to you. Okay? Patient when wronged. Patient when wronged. How many years ago this happened, Joey?
35 years ago.
35 years ago. Pretty good patience there. Okay? Patience when wronged. With gentleness, correcting those who are in opposition. Is this person in opposition to you, Joey?
What's an opposition?
Are they against you? No? Okay. So this, because I would have guessed that they're not against you. They just did this, and they just did it. They're not out trying to steal your house again or do anything there. Okay, so they're not in opposition. But we're supposed to be gentle with them. And I think the correcting does apply. And my answer to you is, you can let them know that it caused, have you ever told them that it caused you guys problems financially for a while? Have you told them that?
No.
So how is it supposed to know? So you may want to talk about that. And if perhaps God may grant them repentance leading to the knowledge of truth. So this is, and I don't have a clear answer for you in this. Because the scripture says to me that God will work through the Holy Spirit, work through you maybe, work through someone else maybe, to get this person to a point of seeing what the truth is. But their repentance, I would submit to you, is not your focus. Your focus should be to point them to Scripture. And not so much let, but be encouraged that God will use that. Scripture is never fallow. So you can be concerned about their repentant attitude, but their repentance is on them, not on you. Bob.
I think it's helpful to go to a very clear text from the mouth of Christ on this subject, Luke 17, 3 and 4.
Okay, please go there.
Be on your guard. If your brother sins, rebuke him. And if he repents, forgive him. And if he sins against you 7 times a day and returns to you 7 times saying, I repent, forgive him. So clearly, if a person has done a wrong, and we know it, we have a duty to rebuke them, hopefully kindly and so on, all those things. But if a person doesn't repent, we should have a forgiving spirit. But I think there's a question, do we presumably increase the grace of God beyond what God does when we forgive when there's no repentance? And I think the person should be confronted and say, I urge you to repent. And if they do, of course, gladly forgive them and not hold a grudge if they don't.
Okay, thank you, Bob. One aspect I will add to that Here's a complicating aspect of the situation that I understand from what Joey's saying. Number one, this was a long time ago. Yep, am I getting that right? Predates when you were a believer, right, Joey? Did this happen before you were a believer? Yep. I want to encourage you carefully to look at something that happened so long ago in light of what God has done for your life and your marriage now. And I would give you the answer to let that speak to this individual and not pull up something 35 years ago. I'm saying talk about your faith in Christ and that it's worked forgiveness in your heart. That's what I would say to you.
So what you're saying is to explain to him why you have forgiven him,
right?
For one. Second is, well, share Christ with him in that manner. And just say, I'll pray for you because people prayed for me. And me and Lupi has forgiven him a long time ago. He's actually Dominic's godfather. And I just don't want, all of that that's happened to me in there has made me grow about giving. So God used it, giving. I don't always do it perfectly. But I guess I just don't want to go to his funeral and say, I wish I would have said these things before you died.
Right.
Why even say it now in your mind? It don't even matter now. But I guess I'm checking my own self I just don't want to end up having a little pity party and saying, wow, Lord, you know, I had 35 years to talk to this guy. Now he's dead.
Right. So here's an aspect of our relationships, I guess, in the world that Scripture points us to, where it says that if you have an enemy, what are we supposed to give someone who we perceive to be an enemy? A cup of water. Does it say in there, give them the cup of water, and as you give it to them, please explain why you consider them an enemy, but in spite of being an enemy, I'm going to give you a cup of water. No, it doesn't say that. It says, give them a cup of water. Be kind. Okay? And I believe, Joey, that if your heart is moved in this way, based on what you've asked me, that you share with him how circumstances in your life, even when you didn't get paid back, that you have peace with it now. And let his conscience deal with it. Let his conscience deal with it. Emil.
So then I have a question.
Closing question then.
So Matthew 18 has a similar text that says, if your brother sins against you, you
right.
need to talk to him about it. Does that mean a brother in Christ, or does that rule, is that for everybody?
Well, that's a great question for us to pick up on next week. So please, except I know Seth will be down south. You should drive back up here for it. It'll be good. Yeah. Oh, you'll be in Virginia. Okay, further away, but 3 hours difference, we could get you on Google. Okay, anyway, please, Lord willing, come back next Sunday, and we'll talk about that important issue. Let's close in prayer.